have more experience than I do.
Yeah, it's they're fun though. They're fun. It's always fun to just, talk to a new person you never met before, a day in your life for the first time, and I just ask them a bunch of questions. Of course, it's they're fun. It's fun. I just love the idea of being able to communicate to someone in this type of fashion without it always being like the hassle being in front of them and all the technical work. But I do have to say, which I haven't informed anyone, is like soon I will be moving into like an actual studio, to where it will be like a actual studio, actual room. So again, like those levels, reaching, climbing those stairs, those levels, has really been a climb, or whatever Hannah Montana said 10 years ago. But 20 years ago, actually, that's how old
Oh
a song
no,
is.
20 years ago. Oh, I feel old.
It feels like, I mean, Hannah, Miley Cyrus, she's been here for a minute. No, we're not talking about Miley Cyrus as part of it. Serenity is your name. Saffold? Am I missing?
Baffled, yes.
Awesome, I got it right.
And
Seems
Cahill?
embarrassing. Khalil.
Khalil?
Yes,
Khalil.
ma'am. I don't know a single Serenity that has ever failed in life. Let me just like say that off the rip. Like, I don't think having, if your name is like, there's certain names you have that people just have that's like automatic success. I think Serenity is just one of them. Like, Serenity's too cool of a name to be like, oh, nah, she busted. Like, she's like the waves now. Like, I don't know. Like, Serenity is like movie star name, like published on magazine name.
Yes, put that in the manifestation out there for me.
Yes, like Serenity, like Trinity, like these are like, come on, those are like really cool names. But hey, Serenity, how are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Besides asking, being asked and answering that question off camera, I'm actually feeling a whole lot more rejuvenized now. I feel a little bit woke up. I think we had a good wake up talk and everything. Just calming me down. I'm so nervous doing these things all the time, I'm blessed to have you here. I'm blessed that on such like short notice we was able to get this going. And what drew my attention was not only like your fun, now you not only are you like in fashion, but you do what, stocks? Is that it?
Crypto and Forex.
Oh, crypto. Okay. I don't know anything about crypto. And so if I'm someone that has no idea about crypto, how do I not know it's some like a pyramid scheme? Like, how can I trust crypto? Is it because they changed the name from Staples Center to crypto.com arena? Like, how, what is, if is, isn't crypto Dogecoin or Dogecoin? What is this? Well, how can I trust crypto? Because it sounds cool if I just say the Crips. Like, I want, like, I'm speaking from a ignorant person. How do I know the difference? How can I tell the difference? I'm just lost in those things.
Well, you're asking a really good question, and it's not like a straightforward question because there's crypto, I would say, is an umbrella term. And to be a little bit more specific, the reason I'm interested in crypto is mostly because of the creative space fashion designers get to make. I've been doing a lot of research the past few months and just seeing what happened during the pandemic. Obviously, we know runway shows that got closed, businesses got closed, and everything went from physical to digital. And crypto's been around since 2011. It just wasn't as popular back then as it is now, which is the reason why the pandemic was such an important time to experience from going physical to digital. And you get to create as a creator, you get to create designs, you get to create avatars in the digital space. And the fashion industry has decided to really go in and capitalizing off of it. I mean, we've all heard of the metaverse, but we've already been living in the metaverse. We didn't know it until then, but Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, and all of that is considered the metaverse. And we've been posting pictures with selfies, filters, with video games. We're already dressing up our avatars, getting all these skins, getting all these extra add-ons. So we've been in the metaverse. But what makes it different now is the programs that creators get to have access to now that creates it from just having to know how to code to just literally designing and being able to upload it to a specific website and selling it and being able to defy physics, defy limit, financial limitations, and truly just explore the digital space. I feel like there's a lot of room to grow, especially with AR, VR, technology and 3D technology, but it's really interesting to me. And that is only one aspect of crypto and the fashion world. And that's like what I'm trying to learn about and specialize in.
So when I was, this is about maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I was seeing Snoop Dogg in like the metaverse situation. And like he's owning like land, he's owning these acres of land. Now, if I'm interested, in crypto, I'm interested in the metaverse and learning everything. But if I see so many big time people like a Snoop Dogg or a DJ Khaled that's just very known and popular and has the resources to get whatever they want, how do I not feel discouraged of, here's the one thing I could have had, but another celebrity's gone and swooped it up and now they have everything? How do I go about handling that when that does happen? And how do I not feel discouraged?
That's actually a really great question, Khalil. What was the guy that you were telling me about earlier, the podcast that you were inspired by?
Joe Budden.
Joe Budden. So Joe Budden already has a platform, and here you are, Khalil, creating your own podcast platform. You could be discouraged by Joe Budden, but instead you're inspired by him. So it's all about mindset and perspective at that point, because people like Snoop Dogg and
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled, they're already big time celebrities, but they're big time celebrities in music. They're big time celebrities as icons because they're hustlers. They came from the mud and they turned themselves into diamonds. But I'm not discouraged by them. If anything, I'm inspired and I would love to work with Snoop Dogg or DJ Khaled because they're super creative and we come from similar backgrounds.
That's the perfect answer right there. I think definitely in this day and age, with so much access to your accessibility, so much in front of you, I think it is kind of easy to get a bit lost in the navigation. And when you see, what would have been like your, everyone wants a niche, right? Everyone wants their niche. And I think even with artists, artists are niche. Countless of people, stans and fans of like, I want to gatekeep him, I want to gatekeep her, because that's, they discovered her. They found this gold mine, and everyone is, getting the gold mine. I think that's the mentality of like, this was mine. This is, but the error is that people think that's actually the case when it's not. So if people can remove that mindset and that mentality, then there wouldn't be any, feeling, disturbed or feeling threatened. It's, everyone can eat, everyone can sit at the table.
Exactly. And it's just like you either sit at the table that's already made or you build yourself a chair. Either way, you can't sit there and be like, oh, he's got it done. I need to go do something else. No, you either create the opportunity or go sit at that opportunity. And it's just like my mentor had asked me this question, and it has stuck with me ever since. Like, if you were not scared, if you did not have fear, what would you be doing? And I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now.
I love it. So being in the fashion world, if I am just getting myself out there, Like if I'm lost, it's just me. I'm bootstrapping everything. I just want to get in the fashion world, but I have no sense of direction. Can I find a mentor? Can I find someone that has some experience that's not gonna cost, arm and a leg? Is there a way for me to, actually climb into the fashion industry in 2022 with no experience?
Absolutely. And there's a lot of ways that you can go about it. In the fashion industry, it's also an umbrella term. Do you want to just strictly design? If so, then you need to find the skills that are necessary to strictly design. Or do you want to physically sew clothing? How can you get an opportunity to physically sew clothing? Or if you want to be a marketer or a content manager, what skills do you need to be not just the best, but the most consistent content manager? Most people feel like that they have to be the best, which is where perfectionism rises from. And I struggle with this a lot, actually. I am the kind of person that will study and study and study and then be like, why is it nothing working? Because you don't apply the information. So it's like, figure out the skill, figure out what exactly you want to do in the fashion industry, figure out the skills needed, and then figure out how you can go enhance those skills for several years. There's a lot of books and audios that I've listened to that you need to put in minimum 10,000 hours in a few skills in order to be considered the best.
I want to use myself as an example. I want to be a model. That's what I want to be in the fashion world. I want to be a model, but I'm 5'5" technically. So they say I'm too short to be in front of a magazine. They say I'm too short to be a lead in anything. How do I go and create a plausible opportunity with my physical limitations? If the skill set or the requirements is 6 feet and above to reach this, to even reach the door. How do I change that? Can I change that?
That's a really good question. You're asking a lot of really good questions. So I have a lot of model friends that used to have that mindset because I used to want to be a model before I decided that it's just designing that I really wanted to do. And I was like, I can't go and get shin surgery just like that and make myself 6 foot tall, right? I can't be a Naomi Campbell. And they were like, then that's not your crowd. The entire fashion industry is not requiring 6 foot people. They're requiring consistent models. They're requiring people who will willingly put in the work. So if you see on the application that it's 6 foot tall, I would just do it anyways. Because, like, no matter what, like you can't go and get shin surgery, Khalil, but you can go tell show these people that you are the best model and you are the most consistent. Even if they're like, okay, you're too short. Next one. Okay, next one. Next one. Again and again and again, over and over and over again. Because believe it or not, you're going to get rejected as a model more often than you are going to be accepted. But don't try and discourage yourself or give yourself an excuse to not apply just because you're 5 foot five and a half.
I love it. I really do. That's amazing to hear. So, my GoFundMe for the shin surgery will be up in the link. Will be up immediately after this. Okay. So fashion and crypto can intertwine with one another. How do you have like, is there like online courses? How can I manage this? How can I like learn more? Is there online courses? Is there physical courses? And how can I like be a face of this? If I want to on a hold online discourse of like crypto and fashion intertwining, how can I do this on platforms? Can I invite people? Like, how would someone that's, trying to put them together on their own platform go about doing this?
So there's a bunch of different ways to do it, and there's this guy that I'm actually really inspired by. Have you heard of Gary V?
Potentially. I've heard of Gary Owens, but I will look up Gary V.
I'll text him your name, but Gary Vee is an influential. What do I say his niche is? I would like he's very well known in the crypto community because he has built this platform of education on NFTs and crypto. And people like him, you can follow on YouTube. You can obviously buy his course. I'm pretty sure he has a course. I wouldn't be surprised if he did. As well as I've had the luxury of getting my associate's degree in fashion design. Not everyone has that, but everyone has accessibility to the internet. So yes, you can go on YouTube or you can join the business that I'm a part of called iMastery Academy. And it's like a mini university online. And the crypto side, they have a few different crypto topics with, I would say 10, like for analogy, 10 professors who have been verified and validated by the company itself to provide accurate, most up-to-date information in the crypto universe. And if you just hop onto the website, hop onto the courses when they're live because they go on live, you can ask them questions in the chat box. And you get to just learn from there. I've had an immense amount of growth information-wise through this platform, iMastery Academy, and it doesn't cost an arm and a leg, thank God. When I first heard of it, I was like, okay, I know this course is like worth $1,000 and whatnot. And they're like, $1,000? Where did you get that from? And I'm like, how much is it then? They're like 174 a month. And I was like, so like a textbook? Okay, sign me up, you know? And just having access to this amount of information versus going to YouTube, because I've done both. I've gone through the whole YouTube route because my mindset used to be a scarcity mindset. I'm like, how can I get this cheap and free? Which we all love to an extent. Where like in YouTube, you can get lost in the sauce. I'm telling you, Khalil. It is so easy to get lost. I will be scrolling for hours, watching things for hours, and I only had one question. Versus this company that I'm a part of, you get access to mentors, you get access to live professors, and a community that will more than willing to help you with this information. And it's all like specific guided information that makes it a lot more easier to understand all of this.
Awesome. And I would like you to send me all the links so I can share it because, 174 a month, that's you said 1,000 at first. I mean, goodness, that's a highway robbery right there. That's OJ Simpson right there.
Exactly.
So when you're, going about high school or college and you're just trying to navigate anything or navigate life and trying to find yourself, have you ever found yourself in a situation where it's, I don't want to say traumatic, but anxiety filled or depression was of course or occurred or a sense of just isolation?
Most definitely. Growing up, it was rough. And then trying to go to LA literally took absolutely everything out of me during the pandemic. It was really hard to get a job. I mean, there was stimulus checks and unemployment, but it wasn't much. And then I felt isolated from my family that I really cared about back home. And that was the first hurdle. I thought that was it. The minute I like settled, got myself a job, going to school, I thought that was going to be it. But then it was my mental health that really like took me through some shit. Like it was really hard to like even get out of bed. Getting out of bed was probably my best I could do while going to college. It was really hard. And then like anytime I was going to work, it was really hard to just function. And it's my type of anxiety is more high functioning anxiety. So I can do regular things, but it's extremely hard for me to do it. Just it's just like this over it's this feeling. It's not really like a thought process. I don't really have a thought process of, oh, I can't do this. It's more of like this feeling that comes from here, and it's just doing it anyways and getting it done and over with, so I can just like put it down and be like, okay, I did it. I did it. Can I go to sleep now? Because it's just like it was that kind of anxiety for me, as well as I felt like I had to constantly do something to prove something to someone but myself. So it took a really long time to get past that anxiety. And it's just anyone out there with anxiety, depression, an immense amount of fear of not making your goals possible, just go fucking do it. You're gonna be scared anyways. I mean, you're gonna have anxiety anyways. You just gotta fucking do it. 'Cause like the more you wait, the more you just study, the more you just sit around, it's not gonna come true. So you just have to do it. Just fucking do it so you can get over the feeling.
I agree. I agree. I think sometimes we're our worst own enemy. You know, valid. We go through a lot of adversity. You know, I have, and sometimes I use that as a crutch before I found the, like you said, just do it. You know, I was like, oh, okay, if I'm gonna be wearing Nikes, then you know, I got to live by the motto now. So I think, just having that attitude helped, and having faith in God, just having faith, having a strong connection in faith allowed me to put away my fears and understand that, you know, what's going to happen, I may not want it to happen, but it has to happen, and it's going to happen. And the best thing I can do is just accept and do what I can to, you know, better the situation. But just, yeah, mentally for me, you know, anxiety is one of them. You know, whenever the sky is just yucky, but for me, just mentally, you know, again, like whenever the weather just isn't looking good outside, it's like it kind of like I'm like a balloon. It just like deflates the air out of me, and I'm just like, I can do it tomorrow or whenever. And for me, I think what helps me get out of bed is just like having some, knowing I have something to do tomorrow. Like if I'm doing an interview at 11 a.m. and then I gotta be there at, you know, I gotta like a business meeting in a couple hours. So it's like, you know what? Let me already get up. Let me get ready. Let me just get ready today and just go for it. I feel good. I feel good. I have something I know I have planned to do, and that just helps me go. I don't like, I can't like, I mean, I wanna be. In the point of like I just wake up and do whatever, but I don't because there's no structure, and then I can just get lost in my mind and like, okay, well, I guess I just sleep all day. But one of my favorite shows is Euphoria,
Guess.
and you know, Euphoria has its has some valid complaints of age and everything, but what I love so much about Euphoria is the fact that it's from everything you see on TV when it comes to high schoolers and high school and things of like that, it's as real as it gets. You know, I love the diversity. Like you have like trans representation, and you have you know, gay rep. Well, one of the actors is gay in real life, not in the show, but then you have a character that's converted to Islam, and you just have a little bit of everything. And they don't make it about diversity. And I'm like, see, this is it right here. This is why. And you know, for someone that can relate to a lot about Rue, and then you know, other characters like Cassie and Lex, Lexi, it's good. It's good for me to. It's good for everyone to. It's like, oh, I can relate to this. But I, as much as I love Euphoria, I take like literally, I take like 6 months break from watching a single episode, because as like someone who's lived multiple times what I'm seeing on TV, it's like looking at myself in a mirror.
Definitely.
And you know, it's like it's hard for me because it's like I love Euphoria. I just love the show. I love the story. And for me, I was writing this album, and as much as I love these songs and I love these beats, I just kind of just died away, got away from it. And I was just thinking to myself, yes, I love this. This is my creation. This is what I love. But if I don't stop, if I don't like depart from it, how can I grow? And whenever I do watch Euphoria, something does come out of it, which was my third album. But I have to keep in mind, I can't, this isn't a show that's like, okay, gather around, we're gonna watch Euphoria, it's gonna be a great time. No, you're gonna end up crying, you're gonna end up like, I hate Nate Jacobs, or I hate his dad. And it's like, I don't want that anger. I don't want that resentment. I don't want that being something I'm having in the just the atmosphere all the time. And those are things I do keep in consideration. It's like, what am I watching when I wake up, or what am I listening to throughout the day before I go to sleep or when I wake up? Because those things can like kind of influence you, whether you notice it or not. And I'm just glad to see, like, when it comes to like mental health and when it comes to like growing up and adolescence and things of that nature, it's like, okay, Euphoria may not be, it's a bit edgy, but it is as real as it gets. And I'm glad you like Euphoria. I just love talking about Euphoria. I don't know, I just love it,
Yeah, no, I love Euphoria. You're totally right. It does bring up a lot of like emotions that are very like present in your timeline in your life. And I binged the whole thing because extending it for me was like constantly bringing out those feelings that I didn't want to bring out. So I just decided to bring them all out in one setting. And I was like, okay, that's done. And then they came out with another season. And I was like, okay, we're going to do it again. Because it's just like, I can relate to it most definitely with like, not personally, I'm Rue, but I know people that are like Rue. And to know that those same people are watching Euphoria, I hope that they realize that they are a Rue in my life and that it's eye-opening that way, or I'm like Rue's best friend. Who's Rue's best friend? I totally forgot.
Jules.
Jules.
I hate Jules. I
Fucking
mean,
loved.
it's okay to hate Jules because Jules is going through her own situation. But I do love the character, like definitely the actress, Hunter. I like her. She's really cool. I mean, they do every actress does such a great job at. Oh, we're supposed to love them, or we're supposed to hate them, or we're supposed to have mixed feelings. I think those are the most interesting characters. Like, am I supposed to hate you, or am I supposed to love you? Like, I do, rightfully so, people hate Nate Jacobs, but the complexity of that character is so interesting because the things that he's doing is wrong, but his intentions of doing it is, oh, to protect Cassie or to protect his father. And it's like, okay, why is he protecting his father? Oh, well, at age 11 or 12, this happened, or he was watching this. So it's like, you can just, I like that Euphoria isn't a high school show or a show about high school. It's a show that involves or revolves around people in high school and their day-to-day lives or their personal lives. I'm so glad that's there. And like with Nate Jacobs, you could just say, oh, tall jock QB. He's gonna be a douchebag. He's gonna be, self-righteous and entitlement. That's all about, being that. Or you can say someone who has, 10 plus years of anger issues and, a need to release this anger and the trauma that he witnessed as a kid watching what his dad was doing. And he just doesn't know how to go about it, and he hasn't. It's so. I mean, it's just so interesting the way you can just just go deep into these characters and their insecurities and their reasonings and their mindset. It's all so interesting. And it's not a show like Euphoria out. I know they tried to do like, I loved it too. I love watching it. They didn't do a second, but Generation, that was gonna be a cool, like it was gonna be like a high school, like queer type show. I just thought it was interesting because I was like, okay, this seems a bit realistic as well. But yeah, Euphoria season three, I can't wait. I can't wait. They renewed that like two, three, four episodes in. I'm heck yeah. I love
Super
it.
excited.
But what you said about like using Euphoria as the means to release that energy is so interesting because I used to cry a lot. I used to cry a lot. I moved, like I mentioned before, like I moved to LA in 2015, and the last time I saw my mom was 2012, and from like 2007 to when I moved with her, I only saw her three times. And so it was just, I would just have these random bursts of just anger, frustration, confusion, all of it you can imagine. And most of it typically stemmed from missing her or why she isn't there. I'd be angry because I knew why she wasn't there. When confused, when am I going to see her? So it's like, I know why she isn't there. I'm wondering when I'm ever going to see her. And I'm mad that she isn't, and I'm sad that she isn't. So like all the emotions in one bowl. And yeah, I just cry and cry to the point where I'm getting headaches and I'm just tired and I just go to sleep. And like now it's like I've cried so much as just as a person. Sometimes I need to listen to some music to open up those floodgates because I think essentially it's like I don't want to go back to crying the way I used to because I've grown since then. I've healed since then. I'm not crying immediately because, I'm not crying as the kid that's hurt anymore, so there may not be a need to cry out like I used to. And it's just interesting to like you have Euphoria. Or I have music, or people can have their thing to help them release the emotions that typically they wouldn't or couldn't for my situation. And I'm just glad like Euphoria isn't like is for what it should be, like a tool. For me, it's like a reflection in the mirror to have these conversations instead of just like being every episode is like some shock thing to talk about and some trendy things. It's an actual piece of art for me. When you talk about the music, when you talk about the cinematography and the outfits and the fashion, which leads me to ask you just how, when you go about your outfits and your designs, how do you go about that? Because like I was seeing your pictures and they all look different. And all you look unique. How do you go about doing that, picking them out?
It's just from years of trial and error, to be honest, and just being highly influenced. Like, I think of Instagram and TikTok a really big mood board. Depending on what you're interested in, your mood board will change. So, like, if you look at the dates of those photos, they're not every single day, right? I have a hard time trying to post every single day simply because I just don't apply my creativity that much. So I'm constantly influenced by different things, which is why my page looks so unique and different because I'm constantly looking at new things, new inspiration, and mostly depending on my mood. Sometimes I feel like dressing up like a boss CEO, but a little bit feminine, right? So that's why I chose this blazer. Or like sometimes I want to dress up like a princess, so I'll wear a pink dress. Or sometimes I'll want to dress up super masculine, so I'll wear like baggy pants and like a button up. It just really depends on like what you're influenced by and what your mood is. And I'm like, if you tell me your top three artists that you listen to, Khalil, I'm pretty sure I can come up with a Pinterest board for you by tomorrow.
Drake, most definitely. Kalani, most definitely.
God, I love Kalani.
And top three artists that I listen to. I'm just going out there and say it. Logic. All right, I'm gonna just go out and say
Yeah,
Logic.
Logic. Logic, I really like Logic a lot. He's not only is super influential, but his lyrics, it just takes Logic. I feel like only Logic can come up with the lyrics that Logic comes up with.
I love Logic because like for me, so like Drake, I put Drake and Kalani like face to face. Like Drake is the masculine version of Kalani. Kalani's the more feminine version of Drake. How can you get more feminine than Drake though sometimes? But I put them face to face. I love their music. I don't know what's stopping them from collaborating and making the best R&B album of all time, but
I know, right?
I don't know. But I'm waiting for it. With Logic though, I love Logic because Logic's he's not gonna change from who he is, like as an artist. Like I've learned to listen to more Logic, not just the words he's saying, but just like I've learned that he's not. He will say he's literally gonna say what he feels like saying on that record, whether it's like repetitive or whatnot, which I adapted to my album and to my music making, which has made writing music more free. More I have more freedom on how I'm writing music because it's like this is my songs. I can say whatever and I can say it for however long and it's gonna be good because I'm writing and I'm making this good. And with Logic, just he's definitely influenced me in being more open about mental health. He's also because of the criticism and all of it. He's also was like, let me not talk about how I'm black and white so much on songs because I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be roasted all the time for that. But when it does come to like mental health, he's definitely inspired me to be more open about it. Drake, he throws in, a couple bars here and there about it. And then, Kalani, she's just so open with her sexuality and with her relationships and with how she's overcome and everything, overcame everything. But like I've been listening to Drake since like 2009. And so like Drake is like my guy. Like Drake is always gonna be like number one for me. He's the reason why I even rap in the first place. But like I listened to like Hove. Like I kept re-listening to God Did, and just like he was just going off on that record, just speaking nothing but facts. And like Hove is a big one. I was gonna say Hove, like it was Logic or Hove, because I listened to them equally. And like with Hove, Hove did a lot of things, in the past. He sold coke, he sold crack and everything to make it out into what he is now. And so for me, it's like, okay, I didn't sell it. I saw it, but I didn't, have that perspective. And so he was like, I'm able to like be more open about that. I don't really like, I don't like mentioning about like the seeing the drugs as a like kid. I don't like really writing about that. But nowadays it's like, okay, I do feel freedom to do so, but I don't want to be like, I was 5 and I saw my like I'm not gonna do that. So the challenge of being a bit more creative with my presentation in that regard is always up there. But yeah, I love Logic, I love Kalani, I love Drake, I love just their freedom that they have in the I don't care, that I don't care approach, that love. Like Kalani and Drake, they really like have a deep love for this Logic. He's a gamer, he's a nerd, and that's like I'm a gamer. I love playing video games and reading comic books, and so I can do that and also make rap versus, oh, you got to be this and this and from this part of the city and everything in order to be taken seriously. He's definitely been that guy that says or show me that I don't have to be for my music to be, what it is. Same with Drake. Drake doesn't come from like a gangster background or nothing, but
No.
he does have like the Secret Service with him at all times, though.
Yeah.
But
You definitely made it big. Okay. I can see the fashion that you're interested in, and I can like come up with a couple of outfits in my head right now, actually, just thinking of it.
awesome. I mean, I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll send you a picture of what I'm wearing right now. But I'm like basically wearing like a like I guess like a track suit. And like for me, like I love comfortability. If I can
Yes.
like if I can maneuver, if I can like basically dance, or if I need to go in a hurry, I can like have a little jog. As long as I can have that flexibility, I'm good. Of course, if it makes sense, like I'm wearing black, yellow, and in a little in a pinch of white, as long as the color scheme is appropriate, I'm always good with that. But I can also do like business casual. I can basically wear a suit. I'm not a suit guy, but I'm not against it every once in a while. But I just
Yeah.
love being comfortable. I
Yeah.
love being comfortable.
Most definitely.
What about your artist? What about like your music taste?
I feel like a lot of my decisions are based off of moods, and music is one of them. Sometimes I like to listen to melody rap. Sometimes I like to listen to hard rap. Sometimes I like to listen to R&B. R&B is a very big thing for me because it's very timeless and I can listen to it almost all the time. Probably not when I'm working out, because then I would just like want to chill out. But right now, my favorite song that I can probably play on repeat right now is Kickin' Back by Mila J.
I will definitely look into that. Mila J. This is so embarrassing, but I just learned that the Big Energy, that's Latto. I did not know that. Like, I just learned that's her song. And Latto and Nicki Minaj are like going back at it on the internet. And because of like some Grammy decisions and whatnot. And I'm like, I love this song. I didn't know who it was, but like this is a cool song. I don't listen to Nicki Minaj, but I do like that freaky song though. That's
Super freaky
a
girl.
yeah, I like that song. It's nice. But what's like I used to listen to as a kid. I used to listen to Avril Lavigne. I used to listen to I forget her name now, but what is it like Christina Aguilera. I used to listen to her a lot. She was in the Black Eyed Peas. She was like Glamorous. She made that Glamorous song. I love that. I love that record. I've listened to like a mixture of everything from when I was a kid because like my mom is like rock and roll, and white people music, and then my dad is like, Wu-Tang Clan and hip hop. So like I and then like my grandmother on my dad's side is gospel, and then my grandmother on my mom's side is more say country. And so it was like a little bit of everything given to me. And like when it comes to R&B, like this album that I mentioned, I literally just wrote in a couple of days. I'm not even on that. Like I'm like DJ Khaled-ing this thing because of the sounds and everything. It's like, oh, I'm gonna write these records. I'm gonna give them to the people I want on them, but I'm putting it out, and that's given me so much of a creative freedom because it's like I'm not writing to my sound and the limitations I have vocally, but now I can write to how I know people can hit these high pitches and sound good, or these high notes rather, and sound amazing. And that just rejuvenated my writing, and I just love it. Like I was like, am I just a good rapper, or can I actually write music? Can I actually write? And I definitely proved myself a couple of days ago. I just love art. Like I made me and one of my best friend made my business cards,
Oh,
or
that's
the
dope.
logo for it. And it's basically like the K for Khalil, and then the crown and the LA, because Los Angeles, of course, love always. And you know, I've never gone in depth or even given the reason behind it, but like on the crown, it's a bit hard to see with the light. But like on the crown, the crown itself and the gold is not in place. It's a bit like crooked. And the reasoning behind that me and my partner talked about it, business partner talked about, is that because just starting out and like in music and in LA and everything, there is no perfection. There is no, you know, great anything. It's a diamond in the rough. It's rough. It's real. And it just like shows like room for improvement, you know? So it's like in 2 years, maybe the crown has shifted a little bit more in place. Maybe it takes a couple more years to get that crown in place. And that's the whole reason behind that. And I just love just that creative thinking. And like the mantra, like the slogan, through hate and adversity, love always wins. And I think that's very true. And I think it's more important, so important to I just want to ask you, do you have any like awareness, or do you have any involvement with what's happening in Iran, or like Palestine, like Lebanon? Like I won't say like I know everything, but when I went on Instagram and like someone posted a story of like showing how like the kids in like Lebanon and these places, they're basically famine. They have no food. And so the babies, the newborns, are like literally biting themselves, like because they don't have a bottle or anything. They're literally biting themselves and they're bleeding. That's how bad it is. That's how much they don't have anything. And for me, it's like, I am Black. Of course, I'm 100% accepting that, and I appreciate that. And so it's like, I never want to be just like an artist that, oh, well, you know, it's none of my problem. It's not my business. It's, you know, not my problem. ASAP Rocky learned the hard way about that. And so it's like, I always want to have that involvement of what's happening in the world, not just what's happening in my world, which also is like my motivation. My motivation isn't just to be known globally for music. I want to like help. I want to like contribute to, you know, bringing people up and uplifting again, you know, the passion to uplift and, you know, share people's stories. That's a part of it. And to also put the boots on and go and volunteer if I can, you know, find time for that. And it's always bigger than, like, for me, it's always bigger than music, or it's bigger than podcasting. It's, you know, I'm not doing it, hey, let's just talk, whatever, just have a good time. It's like, no, I want to talk. I want you to, you know, I want to deep down into what you are and what made you. And hopefully it touches someone and resonates with someone. Someone can relate to that. And when they hear us talk about mental health, they can relate to that and feel inspired. That's the reason why I do the things to do. We do it with purpose, not just because we can, but because we want to and we have a purpose for it.
Yeah, most definitely. There's a lot that are there's a lot of news and misinformation that is spread around Lebanon, Iran, Palestinian, and just a lot of division that's happening within the United States about it, because some is like, oh, it's politics, but then over there it's like religion is tied with politics, and there's like war happening, and then there's like all of these decisions that are being made with the lack of humanity. And just like you said, you want to give back. You want your platform as a musician to be bigger than just being a musician. And personally, oh my God, sorry, my notification scared me. When I see those things, I try my best to understand what is going on before making a opinion on it or what my perspective is. And from what I've seen, there's just a lack of humanity and a lot of just control of ownership and a huge emphasis on control based on someone's beliefs. And that gets really difficult to break down and tackle, especially when we all have our own personal beliefs about how a situation should be handled. So that's my take on it. And I do unfortunately have to go in 10 minutes. But as someone who has the luxury to turn off the news instead of like worrying if the minute I go outside, if I'm going to come back alive or not, that is a luxury that I am grateful to have. It sounds awful to say, but it's just, I do have that luxury to turn off the news whenever the world is overwhelming me.
I understand. I mean, from my co-host, she too admits she takes a kind of ownership of her privilege, and it's some people just born into it. People are born into privilege and luxury. They have no control of it. What matters is like how you go about showing it or displaying that. People can be privileged all they want, but if they if they decide to share that privilege, then that's amazing. If they don't want to, then you know what? That's their decision. That's what they're going to do. And so I understand, like, I can definitely feel with some people who have privilege or born into it, like some form of guilt or anything. But none of us are in control of what those people are doing. Those inhumane acts of violence and like you said, control and things of that nature. Like nobody wants that to happen, and we can only do so much to intervene or spread awareness. But the fact that people are doing that and they don't have to, because their life is already set, that definitely helps out a lot, because then they can spread their platform and their what they have to a bigger audience in a light. So I definitely understand where you're coming from, and I just want to say thank you for sharing your time, Serenity Saffold. I've definitely learned a lot for myself, and I think definitely for other people who have concerns or questions about crypto and how to get into it, I think their answers will be satisfied. And yeah, thank you for your time, and I'm blessed. This is a blessing to have had this. So I hope you have a good rest of your day, and can't wait to talk to you soon.
Thank you. I really appreciate that for this opportunity, and I hope that we get to collab again in the future. I
Oh,
hope
will
you have a
do.
good day.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye.
Bye.